News.
And now on Radio 4, the classic serial, The History of Titus Groan. And Steerpike has strengthened his grip on the rituals of Gormenghast.
Why did Gormenghast's sacrosanct ceremonies, observed for centuries, suddenly lurch towards disintegration and chaos? Who was to blame? Was it him?
Steerpike.
Or was I the worm in the bud? This painting of yours.
Yes?
This must have been how it was that night.
A blaze of ruddy light. A blistering illumination of gold and vermilion flaring in the velvet blackness. Two figures, Steerpike and Barquentine, the young man and the antediluvian dwarf, clothes, hair and skin on fire, locked together in a death grip, falling. Falling. To the black waters of the moat.
Still not there. Damn you, Barquentine.
Steerpike, former kitchen boy, assistant master of ritual, a nondescript nobody who scrambled to freedom up the walls of Gormenghast.
How long does it take to drown? For God's sake, die with you!
Maybe it was the coming together of our lives, his and mine, like two planets aligning, the turning point in my history.
The History of Titus Groan by Mervyn Peake. Dramatised by Brian Sibley. With Luke Treadaway as Titus and David Warner as the artist. Titus departs.
Gone! At last.
Whatever the truth, that night everything changed. Forever. Where does he go, the scalded rat? Who does he turn to? His former employer, physician to Gormenghast, Dr. Alfred Prunesqualler.
Merciful heavens! Steerpike, what in the name of...
The fire, but...
My dear boy! Oh, that's flammable! What does this mean? Come in.
What is going on, Alfred?
An accident. Steerpike.
Alfred, what happened? I said, what happened?
My old room.
I don't know. He hasn't told me.
The prune squalors.
I'm doing all that I can.
But you must not go in, my dear sister. He does not look himself. I will tell you more later.
Must give an account of myself. My version. Make him believe.
Oh, come now. Steerpike.
Shut up. Doctor, I couldn't hold him.
You tell me more tomorrow.
No, now. I must tell you now. I know where Barquentine is.
Barquentine?
Dead. Huh? Somewhere in the mud. Bottom of the moat.
How did he get there?
I'll tell you everything. I went to Barquentine's room, like every evening, to be given my duties for the next day. He was lighting a candle. I don't know why, but he started as if I'd surprised him. When he turned his head, his beard caught the flame. A moment later, he was alight. He panicked, caught hold of me. Doctor, I began to burn.
You arrest her.
I couldn't escape. The only thing I could do, I ran to the window, Barquentine still clutching me. Jumped. I couldn't hold him up. I tried. The moat must be dragged. He must be found, given burial. I must carry on his work. I cannot talk anymore.
A second conflagration disrupts the life of Gormenghast. And once again, Master Steerpike is at the scene.
Heedless of tragedy, Irma Prunesqualler's party, or, as she prefers to call it, her soiree, looms ever nearer.
He's coming. Oh, everyone know their parts.
The professor's common room. Four figures float through the shifting brown billows of tobacco smoke. Professors Fluke, Mulefire, Perch Prism, and Cut Flower.
Tittle-tattle. Belgrove and Bloody thank us for interfering.
Oh. Interfering in what, Professor?
Nothing, Headmaster.
Something, I think.
Nothing, really. Just a rumour.
Overheard by Fluke, don't you know?
Yeah. Mr. Fluke?
Below-stairs gossip, nothing more.
All because, apparently, she has a habit of talking to herself aloud.
She? Who?
Miss Irma Prune Squalor, of course.
Yes, but come, as Fluke says, silly servants chatter and nothing more.
Possibly.
Well, saying what, precisely?
Well, if you must know, old man, that Irma has got the devil of a passion for you. And what's more, Chief, this party of hers is but a means for Irma to be near you.
Yeah. Obviously she couldn't ask you alone, could she?
Far too blatant.
Too indelicate, don't you know?
Beauty calls.
My mother, Countess Gertrude, in her room of birds.
Barquentine dead?
A bullfinch nests in her red hair.
Yes, your ladyship. And curiously, like his father Sawdust, burned to death.
What of the ritual? The laws must be maintained.
There is only one who can pick up the threads of custom and convention. Only one who has some learning in the law.
Tell me. Where can he be found?
Well, at this precise moment, he's swathed in bandages and drifting in and out of fever.
Some rituals continue. Others falter and lapse. But for me, the tedious daily classroom routine runs on, unchecked.
Master Groan?
Sir?
Were you thinking of doing any work this afternoon, dear boy? Or were you planning to spend it chewing the end of your pen?
Yes, sir.
You mean, yes, sir, I'm going to work, or yes, sir, I'm going to chew my pen?
Oh, work, sir.
I am so pleased. Now, what to make of this other situation? The whole thing is poppycock. Fabricated so that unknowingly I might provide an added zest to the party. Anyway, what's wrong with said lady? Well set up, vivacious, fine, upright woman, with a long, sharp nose. Yeah, what of that? Noses have to be some shape or other. True, she has no bosom to speak of, but then an old man can't expect all the qualities, and, well, I am really rather too old for bosoms anyway. But I've seen through the little game, and I shall turn the tables on my staff. I shall pursue Miss Prune Squalor.
The books of law.
What about them?
Must have them.
No, you're not well enough. No, you're still feverish. Drink this.
Doctor, the books must be brought to me from Barquentine's room.
First, you will do as I ask, Master Stearpike, and take your medicine.
Yeah.
Now, you must rest.
How about that?
I will leave you the candle.
No! No! Please. No candle. Ah, flames. Burning. Pain.
Yes. Yes, of course. Pyrophobia. Perfectly understandable. I should have thought. Yeah, there. No candle.
The rituals. They must go on.
Yeah, shh.
Proper rites observed.
Shh, no.
It's my duty. Owe it to Barquentine. And to Gormenghast.
Shh. You never cease to intrigue me, Master Stearpike.
But the twins. The twins.
The twins?
The twins will make it five.
The
twins? Their late ladyships, Clarice and Cora. What and how do they make five?
My sister, Fuchsia, as sullen as our mother, as sensitive as our father.
Fuchsia! Fuchsia!
Tossing her black flag of hair, her red dress inflaming the grey courtyard.
Where have you been?
I've been to see Steerpike.
You haven't?
I certainly have, Titus. And I shall go again.
Why?
He is very ill. His burns are terrible.
I don't care. I don't want you to see him.
Why not?
Because he's...
Because he's what? What do you know about him? Is it a crime for him to be more brilliant than we could ever be? Is it his fault that he is so disfigured? Or that he is so brave? I'm sorry, Titus. Don't let's talk about him.
Reasonably satisfactory, yes, indeed.
The day of the prune squalor's long-anticipated soiree finally arrives. In the recently redecorated salon, Irma, minus her dark-lensed glasses in the interests of vanity, blindly scans the spotless room for blemishes.
Irma! By whisper of whimsy.
Alfred, how do I seem to you? How do I seem?
I'll tell you what, Irma. Mm-hmm. You've made something out of yourself, and if it ain't a work of art, it's as near it makes no matter. And if you don't manage to find yourself a prospective husband from among your guests, then there is no justice in the world. Viola emanates, I hardly know you. Turn around. What is it that has altered you? Great grief. I've got it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, dear. Oh, quite so. By all that's pneumatic. Silly of me. You've got a bosom, my love. Or haven't you?
I'm told that busts are, well, important to the male of the species.
Busts, Rosaming sister, are what you make them.
Exactly, exactly. Mm. And I've made one, Alfred, and it gives me pride of bearing. It's a hot water bottle, Alfred. An expensive one.
Good heavens.
Which brings me, Alfred, to request a small favour.
Name it, my sweet incongruity.
I wondered, dear, if you would take my bust to the kitchen and fill it with hot water for me. The bottle has got very cold. I don't want to catch a chill.
Irma, have you no modesty? If you catch a chill, I will dose you. In the meantime, the magic hour approaches. Come, come, my tiger lily. You are radiant.
Am I, Alfred? Oh, no. Am I?
Every light is blazing in the homestead of the prunes. Lord, what a hideous lot you are. You're no bloody silk purse yourself.
Gentlemen, decorum if you please.
Welcome to our soiree. Yes.
Terribly gay now, everyone. We must all be terribly gay.
Poor old bloody Belgrove.
Just remember, watch your steps, Chief. Watch them carefully.
Have no fear, I will watch my steps.
Great spearheads, Irma. How determined, how martial you look. Relax a little. Melt within yourself. Think of milk and honey. Think of jellyfish.
Be quiet, Alfred. Something is approaching. Oh. Something in white is coming this way.
Well, Belgrove, old man. This is one of those moments in a man's life when valour is tested. It is not merely the doctor's sister that awaits you, but a daughter of Eve.
Even without my glasses, I can tell that it is something old, but something undeniably noble. A mane of white hair that has about it the wisdom of a prophet. Grandeur of a lion?
She is there, by God, from head to foot and matchless, a living focus, a cosmos, a pulse of the great abstraction. Woman.
I shall offer my hand to him.
I will bow before her milky limpness and then take and kiss her hand.
Oh, sweetest mercy. Oh, the wild thorn throbs of it. Oh, the great, gentle, brilliant lion.
Miss Prune Squalor?
Headmaster!
How long do they remain thus? How many times does the earth move around the sun? How many times do the great blue whales of the northern waters rise to spurt their fountains? How many antelope fall to the claws of how many leopards while these two figures remain motionless? It is fruitless to ask. The clocks of the world stand still. Or ought to.
Alfred!
Mama?
My bosom!
In the complex arrangement of strings, safety pins and tapes, time has found a weakness.
Alfred, it is slipping. You must engage the headmaster in conversation until my return.
Dear Mr. Belgrove, you must excuse me, but momentarily...
Belgrove, tell me, how is young Titus progressing?
A page has turned in my life. This is chapter one. He has awakened me. I am in his power. I shall return the kind of woman that the headmaster may admire. A dame, composed and glorious in all the high sensuousness of her sex.
Where are we going?
The cloisters. We shouldn't be out at night.
There is someone you have to see.
Who?
Come along.
In the dusk-filled cloisters, with knee joints cracking, a long, ragged scarecrow shadow paces to and fro. Flay, former first servant of Gormenghast, now exiled, as worn and weathered as the stones he treads.
Here he is, Fuchsia.
Mr. Flay!
Ladyship.
Oh, Mr. Flay, I am so happy to see you again. You were always so kind to me. Are you all right?
Well,
of course he's all right. He's a sort of savage, aren't you, Mr. Flay?
Like enough, Lordship. He eats a ragged life, no doubt about it. More days than dinners.
How did you get here, Mr. Flay?
Secret tunnel, underground.
I found it, Fuchsia. Didn't I, Mr. Flay?
Yes, Lordship.
It's awfully dark and smelling of earth, and there are mice and insects and things everywhere. But it comes out near Flay's cave.
Forgive me, Lady Fuchsia. Must ask questions.
What sort of questions, Mr. Flay?
I know the sort. About what's been happening. About things like Barquintine being dead and...
Barquintine?
Burned to death.
Steerpike tried to save him.
But the ritual, the procedure. Who has given the instructions? Who has interpreted the documents? Who has turned the wheels off Gormenghast?
It's all right, Mr. Flay. Steerpike is doing everything.
But he's no master of ritual. Ladyship, no love. No love for Gormenghast.
I wish there wasn't any master of ritual.
Titus!
What does any of the ritual really mean?
Means Gormenghast. Means you, Lordship.
Whatever it means, it doesn't, and it won't ever mean me.
In the sky above the prune squalor's garden, there rides a hunter's moon. Irma has seen to it. The arbor is thick with clotted midnight, intensely rich and velvety, and has a rustic seat for two.
Are you seated in comfort, Miss Prune Squalor?
Oh, yes. Headmaster. In comfort and in peace.
What kind of peace? My dear lady.
The peace of those who found what it is to offer themselves without reserve to something august, tender, and unattached.
Tell me, dearest lady, is it of me that you speak?
It is of you I spoke. You, Mr. Belgrove, no, do not touch me. Do not tempt me. I would not have us desecrate this moment.
Irma, is this desecration? Are we blotting the whitest of all love's copybooks? It is for you to say.
My very wildest dreams have become real. Have become something I can touch. They are you.
You are not the only one whose dreams have become a reality. We are, I believe, holding one another's dreams in our very arms.
My master!
Oh, my dearest one!
I am having the most moving time, Alfred. Are you listening or not?
This is mysterious. It should be here.
Oh, it is too galling that a woman can be courted so splendidly, so nobly by her lover, only to find that her own brother is about as interested as a fly upon the wall.
Flesh of my flesh. What is it that you want to know?
No. Why should I want to know anything? I was not asking you a question. I sometimes have thoughts of my own. I sometimes make statements. I am being drawn out. I am like a rich mine, and I am finding treasures in myself. And I have brains I haven't used yet.
Conversation with you, sweet trout, is peculiarly difficult. You do nothing to help your loving brother. You leave no loops, dear one, at the end of your sentences. Nothing for his ever-willing, ever-eager, ever-shining hook.
Oh, it is too bad of you, Alfred.
It must be somewhere.
It is really too bad of you.
Gone? It's definitely gone. A bottle of poison. Emerald green and deadly.
Oh, sister. Yes, sister.
The twins.
Nothing.
Their identical purple dresses hang loose upon their starving bodies.
Nothing.
Their empty heads slowly filling up.
Nothing.
With madness.
Left to eat. No. All gone. Days ago. Nothing.
Wait and watch. Tread the stones. There's evil lurking. Must trace it to its source. Must root it out.
Darkness, thick as ink. Flay, on his nightly journey of exploration, hour upon hour of twisting and turning, of radiating alleyways.
Never saw half of Gormenghast. Time has come. So many ways. Always have chalk. Leave marks. Find the way back. Find the way out.
He made us do it. What? Burn the library. Stairpike. He never came back. Nothing left to do now. Only die. 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 Die.
Among the living, Irma Prune Squalor and Professor Belgrove are wed.
Now, listen. Now, listen to me.
The headmaster, tossing his white mane of hair and practicing a series of supposedly noble gestures before the bedroom mirror.
I will not have it. Irma, I would be grateful if you would remember your station. It is not for you. Oh, why, my love, where did you spring from?
What the mirror doesn't reveal to you, my dear husband, but which is painfully obvious from where I am standing, is your neck.
My neck? What of it?
It is very dirty, dear one.
Oh.
And it has been like that for weeks. Please be good enough to clean it.
Yes, Irma, dear. Oh, stinking hell. Stinking, rotten hell.
And the twins will make it five? Five what, Foom Squalor?
Exactly, your ladyship. Five what?
Five enigmas, perhaps. The Earl, my husband, vanished. The chef, Swelter, vanished. Sourdust and Bark and Thyme, father and son, burned to death. And the youth, Steerpike, present at them both.
I'll stake my brightest penny that he was making a list of individuals. If so, then his words, "and the twins will make it five," would mean that the deaths or disappearances of their ladyships, Clarice and Cora, would make it six, not five. Unless...
What, ma'am?
Of course. There has been another death. Nanny Slag. Maybe it was something other than old age that stopped her heart.
Yes.
Something green and poisonous. How could I have missed it? What if his list was a list of deaths for which he was, in some way, responsible?
We have no proof. But by the black taproot of the very castle. If our fear is founded, the towers themselves will sicken and the oldest stones will spew.
As in everything connected with Gormenghast, time stands still even as it moves on. Ritual and observance, the weighty burden on my young shoulders, are the only constant.
And daily, at sunset, the professors of Gormenghast, a cloud of purple robes, give voice to the beliefs of generations.
Hold fast to the law of the last cold town, where the earth of the truth lies thick on the page. And
the days move on. The names of the months change and the seasons bury one another.
Spring runs lightly over the rough sides of Gormenghast Mountain.
The days wear out. A loosened stone falls from a high tower.
Summer sprawls and slumbers across the countryside in swathes of green and gold.
The weeks wear out. A fly drops lifeless from a broken pane.
Autumn stabs the sky and leaves the sun to die, filthy, vast and bloody.
The months wear out. A sparrow twitters in a cave of ivy.
Winter blows the sky naked and screams like a wild bird across the glittering land.
The years wear out. I wade through my boyhood and arrive at last on the barren shore of manhood. My passionate longing to be free, smouldering rebelliously.
Today you will attend the ceremony of the stables.
Steerpike the skewbald, taut crimson tissue, forming fiery patterns against the wax-like pallor of his skin, clenching his silky, blood-red monkey hands.
Are you listening, your lordship?
77. What?
The ceremony of the stables requires your presence, is that clear?
Master Steerpike, you address me as if I were a child. I'm 17 years old, and I'm the 77th Earl of Gormenghast.
I will return for your lordship in half an hour.
Oh, good day, Lady Fuchsia.
Master Steerpike.
I hate him.
You're becoming a bore, Titus. What's wrong with him?
I hate his superior pretense of caring about the rituals of Gormenghast when it means nothing more to him than a route to some new power and privilege that he desires.
I think he does his work wonderfully. God, do you think I want to argue with you, Titus? You know how I love you, but you are unfair. Unfair!
I tell you, Satan, my little friend, I hate him.
On his shoulder, a monkey, dressed in a harlequin costume of red and yellow diamonds.
Here, have a nut. I hate the insolence of this self-possessed youth. He's an abiding obstacle to my ambitions. If he were dead, and Fuchsia were within my power, only the Countess and perhaps that infernally meddling prune squalor would stand between me and the realization of my plans. First then, Fuchsia must be wooed. I must make her admire me, trust me, need me, love me. Then, when I'm quite ready, I will take her. And when she is a virgin no longer, if for no other reason than blackmail, I will have her in the palm of my hand.
Where are you taking me?
Tonight, I'm going to show you a wondrous sight.
What is it?
You'll see.
Him and ladyship, wrong, blasphemy.
There you are, my lady. I present one of the wonders of Gormenghast, the moon rising on the pool of carp. And if you look in the water, you'll see the carp leaping on the moon. Lady Fuchsia.
Fuchsia.
Come to my room tomorrow night. It's safer for us to meet in private.
You mean secret?
It's for our safety, Fuchsia.
Why?
Because you are the sister of the 77th Earl, and I am master of ritual. We must be ever cautious. Take care that you're not followed. Can you find your way there in the dark?
If you really think it necessary.
It is. No candles, no flames.
What are you afraid of, Stairpike?
Nothing. I just don't want our actions misunderstood. I'll be waiting for you. And remember, after dark, no candles.
The next night.
Fuchsia, hurrying down the rough stone corridor filled with black night, heart beating, pupils dilated in the darkness.
He's not here. Where is he? What's happened? I hate this dark. What's that? Who's there?
The room is flooded with golden lamplight. On the table sits the monkey in its harlequin costume, its face cupped in its wrinkled hands.
Fool! You said fool!
Fuchsia!
You've never looked at me that way before! With the ugliness of anger!
There can never be any excuse for what I said. And maybe I will never be able to ask your forgiveness, but you must let me explain.
Let me get out of here.
Listen to me. It was for you, Fuchsia. My violence was for you. There was no time to be lost. We were in danger.
What danger?
Didn't you hear her footsteps? She's just gone by.
Who?
Your mother.
My mother?
Think what might have happened if she'd have found you here. I only wanted to hide you and to save you. And why? Fuchsia, because I love you. You are all I've ever longed for. Yes, yes, I called you fool, but only out of love for you. Now, of course, I'll understand if you have no wish for Satan.
Satan?
The monkey. Come on. Come on. My wicked little boy. Yeah, I thought he would please you. I made his clothes myself.
I want to go now.
Of course. Shall I take you to your room?
I will go myself.
As you please, but I implore you, try and understand.
I will never understand, however much you talk. Everything's changed. I don't feel the same anymore.
Then grant me just one favour, Fuchsia.
What?
Meet me again tomorrow night, even if it is for the last time, so that we can talk for a little while. Not about us, not about my faults or this terrible chasm between us, but about other, happier things. Will you meet me on those conditions?
I don't know. I don't know. Oh, God, I suppose so.
Thank you. And then you can tell me if you have any use for Satan. Because he's yours, and you'd like to know, wouldn't you, Satan, to whom you belong?
Stairpike, I think you're going soft.
God, what have I done, Satan? I couldn't admit to weakness, tell her that the sight of a flame had caught me like a lash. Everything I planned has come crashing down. Ground is slipping. No time for mercy, Satan. Tomorrow, I will resolve it all.
Before first light, in a cloister along one side of a quadrangle, we are waiting, Flay and I.
What's he up to? I don't know, Lordship. Been shadowing him every night many months. You must be witness, for who will believe the word of an exile against the word of the master of ritual?
Witness what?
I'm not sure. I can't explain. Only feelings. But I know him. After all these years, I know him well. His time is ripe. We must be there.
This is the doctor's quadrangle.
What of it?
He is on our side.
Then you must fetch him. Need help. If Steerpike is gone when you return, then I will be gone too. Follow me. I have chalk. I'll leave a trail. But be silent. Now go!
Tonight, Satan, I will have her at my mercy. I will awaken her, dazzle her, and, if need be, seduce her. Though she prove a tigress, I will take her, and all else will follow. But first, I must know for sure that they are dead. My brain knows it, but my eyes must have confirmation.
Huh? Hey, the devil!
Shh!
Dr. Prune, it's me.
Titus?
I climbed the ivy.
Why?
We want your help.
We?
Flay is with me.
What? Flay?
Yes. He's waiting for us. He's returned to Gormenghast. Can you come? We're trailing Steerpike.
I'm flattered, dear boy. More than flattered. Give me a moment to dress.
Hurry, Doctor.
Now, give me.
They've gone. Look for chalk marks on the ground, Dr. Prune. Here's something. Words.
What do they say?
Every 20 paces, I think it is.
Oh, to have young eyes.
Yes, look, an arrow. Come on.
So begins a series of dusky journeys through a world of twisting passageways, shallow flights of stairs, long treadless inclines, a maze of dawn-lit stone.
Oh, another message. Doctor, faster. He is in a hurry. Catch me, but silence.
On again.
Down corridors, through archways, across empty open spaces for hour upon weary hour.
There, ahead, Flay.
Shh, boy. Quietly. Flay has seen us.
Lordship. Doctor. We have found him, see?
What's he doing?
Unlocking a door.
Not going in. Looking around for something.
He's got an old plank of wood.
Pushing open the door.
What's he waiting for? Quiet, Satan. I have to be careful. Oh. Come on. No. Don't go in there. Satan.
Oh,
it's savage. An axe.
Monkey's lost his tail.
Steerpike's going in.
Come on.
Goodbye, Clarice. So long, Cora. Farewell to you, my stupid, foolish ladies.
Oh, merciful heavens.
Skeletons.
The twins.
You.
Flay!
Yes, it is Flay.
Careful, he's got a knife.
You will drop that now. And come forward with your arms raised. You are under arrest.
You will not take me!
I'll give you one last chance. If you have not dropped your knife in 5 seconds, we will advance upon you.
You want my knife? Here, have it!
Flay, no!
In the name of all that's gracious.
Don't let him escape.
Too late! You will never, never find me!
Oh, Flay! No! No!
The traitor, Steerpike, must be found.
Yes!
Every known spring and wellhead, every cistern, tank and catchment shall have its sentry. No doubt the beast must drink. Be wary and be watchful. Do you understand?
Yes, my lady!
We shall outwit him, Prune Squalor.
And the rituals, the ceremony of bride carvings?
The ceremonies shall continue. No difference.
No difference, your ladyship, save for eternal vigilance and unflagging pursuit.
And we will have him, Doctor. We will have him.
And why on earth, Irma, should you think he would risk his life to attack you?
You know nothing of my life before we were wed. What? Steerpike and I... There was a certain bond between us, more than that, a shared sensibility.
You deceive yourself. Oh, yes. Do you really imagine it matters to him whether you are alive or dead? Any more than whether that fly up there on the ceiling is alive or dead? Good grief, Irma, be reasonable. If only for the sake of the love that once I bore you.
Our love has nothing to do with it, nor is it anything to mock at. It has changed, that is all. It is no longer green.
Nor am I, Irma. Nor am I.
Thank you for coming, but there is nothing we can talk about.
There are sentries everywhere. Who's the man outside your door?
I don't know his name. He's there day and night.
They'll never catch Steerpike. He's too cunning, the bloody beast. Why can't they burn the whole place down, and him with it, and us with it, and the whole world with it, and finish the whole dirty business and the rotten ritual and everything, and give the green grass a chance? I can't believe he's dead.
Who?
Flay, of course. What about his cave? Empty forever, I suppose. I want to see it again. Would you come with me?
No. I don't want to go anywhere. I can't feel anything. I felt too much. I'm sick of feelings.
I have to go, Fuchsia. See it one last time.
You can't. Not today. The ceremony of the bright carvings. You have to attend.
I don't have to do anything anymore.
The air is like an oven. Storm clouds yawn like hippopotami. Deep holes and funnels open and close, mouth-like, now here, now there. Then the rain.
I'm running for the cave. Over boulders, through trees, the rain hammering and streaming over my body. And then I am standing at the cave mouth, looking in and seeing what I never thought to see again. Is it... The creature who's haunted my memory for so many years. The flying thing. The thing I saw in the woods when I was a boy. The thing Nanny used to say was the child of my wet nurse, Kida. My foster sister.
Naked, her face like a robin's egg, balancing upon her heels, she swivels a plucked bird on a spit above a small fire. All about her, feathers.
Hello. I'm your friend. I'm Lord Titus. I have wanted to see you again for so long. And now I found you. Speak to me. For God's sake, can't you? You can't, can you? You don't know what I'm saying. I won't let you go. You have what I want most in the world. Freedom. No. Please. I love you.
A searing flash of flame, breaking loose and ripping a causeway of fire through the drenched forest, burns up everything in its path.
No. No. She is gone. Forever.
By all that's pluvious, there has never been such a deluge. Never.
The sacrosanct rituals must be preserved. The books of law, the sacred records, must be carried to the attic. Do you hear me?
Yes, your ladyship.
Gormenghast is marooned. And still the water rises like terror, inch by clammy inch.
In 6 hours' time, the flood will be at our feet. There is no possibility of the night being spent on this level. You have my order of priority, have you not?
Certainly, your ladyship.
Tell me, gentlemen, can the traitor Steerpike live on air?
No.
Can he chew the cloud or swallow the thunder or fill his belly with lightning?
No.
Or can he live beneath the water like the pike I see below me in the darkness?
No.
No. He is like us, gentlemen. Like us.
I hate nature. I hate it, the rotten beast.
No, you can't talk like that about nature. You're a piece of nature yourself.
Oh, don't be stupid.
Well, if you're not nature or a bit of it, what the hell are you?
I am a woman. I said I am a woman.
Yes, Emma, I know.
And what precisely are you staring at?
Nothing. Just a place on the wall where a piece of plaster has fallen off and left a small grey pattern in the shape of a heart.
Mother! Mother!
What is it?
I've seen him.
Steerpike. Where?
Not far away. He has a boat. He went in through a window.
How long ago?
An hour.
Did he see you?
No.
Then we have him.
The Bright Carvers have been building boats. Their leader has sworn their service. We will start within the hour. Gormenghast will be avenged. You have done well. You have surprised me.
To hell with Gormenghast. I hate Steerpike because he killed Flay and probably killed Nanny too. He would have killed Dr. Prune and me if he could have. And he hurt Future. Isn't that enough?
I cannot give the reasons. I only sing the tunes. The sadness of the seasons. The madness of the moon. Here, through this window that he entered my life, and again later, leaving me a rose, a single red rose. No, that was Fuchsia, and I am not Fuchsia. People think I am the ugly, foolish child who was deceived and toyed with by a killer. But I am someone else. Someone young and beautiful and brave as a lioness. The sort of person I read about in books. Who would not only think of ending the pain in her heart by reaching out into oblivion, but who would know how to do it. Have the courage to do it. She would climb up onto the windowsill until she was standing high above the deep water. And she would know that she was alone no more because a realm, vast and final, was ready to receive her.
Ladyship, Titus.
What is it, man?
Terrible news.
Not Fuchsia. Not Fuchsia.
Fuchsia?
Drowned. Oh, God in heaven, no. No, no.
My dear boy.
The skewbald beast, I will kill him for this!
A room filled with inky water. The window, a square of light, the only way in and out. Steerpike, asleep in a small canoe, bobbing gently on the water, waits for nightfall to make his escape.
He is below us.
We have him now.
So, they've come for me.
Where is the carpenter?
Here, milady.
You have your tools?
Yes.
Cut through the floor. The enemy is beneath our feet.
Milady.
The boatmen, the bright carvers are here.
Let me join them.
No, stay here. Keep a tight semicircle around the window. He must not be allowed to get out. Is there a volunteer among you? One who is brave enough to take a boat into the room where the enemy lurks?
Aye, your ladyship. I'll go in.
One of the boats moves forward. Steering the skiff, a man with a broad-brimmed leather hat, a blade in his mouth, driving through the water towards the enemy of his people, passing in through the window.
Faster, man!
Almost through, milady! There!
What can you see?
Hello there, is the Countess there?
What's that?
It's the volunteer, your ladyship. He's immediately below.
What does he say? For the love of the stones, what does he say?
Have you got him?
Tell her ladyship there's nothing here. Only a room full of water. There's no way out but the window. There's nothing but water. Tell her.
Grizzly fowl has flown.
He's gone. If he ever was here.
I saw him. He was in there.
Light that lantern, quick. Quick, pass it to me. Let me assist your search with a little candlelight. Your ladyship. What? Beneath that broad-brimmed hat, flash of white and purple, a glimpse of something skewbald.
It is him! The volunteer is dead! The traitor is in the room!
Let me at him!
Hold him, Froon Squalor!
Let go of me! Doctor!
No, my boy, no!
Boatman, pull forward! Draw your knives! He will be brought out dead!
Never. Never.
Stand out, all boats! Light every torch, every lantern! Watch for him! He must surface sooner or later! Where?
What's that?
Can you see him?
No.
Great hell! He is no merman! He must breathe! He must!
If he's not in the water...
What, Titus?
Look! The ivy against the wall, he's in there! I know it! Let me kill him! Let me!
Titus, no!
Boatman! By the blood of love! Find my son! Protect the Earl!
I begin my descent, forcing my way through the network of twisted, hairy bones.
I will kill him. For Fuchsia. For Flame. Nanny Slack.
Below him, Steerpike. Nothing left of his brain. The brilliant mind a cloud of crimson.
He's coming. The Lord of Gormenghast delivered into my hands. So I succeed even as I fail. Destroy the last of the line. Destroy Gormenghast. And then, sweet glory of wickedness, destroy myself.
Steerpike, I see you.
I've been waiting for you.
Limbs tangling in the tangled ivy. My knife stabs blindly again and again. Pain, blood. The world spins and goes black. Opening my eyes, I see a face. Narrow, pale, with small, lackluster eyes that are turned up. It is done.
Steerpike is dead!
Moment by moment, day by day, month by month, the great floodwaters fall. The washed air is indescribably sweet and tranquil.
An evening in late spring, the sky filled with coral-coloured light. You stand by the place on Gormenghast Mountain where they have buried your sister.
I am going, Fuchsia. I must go. It is as if I were following some law. A law as old or older than the laws of Gormenghast. The law of longing. The law of change. The law of youth.
I have lost my enemy. My foe now is Gormenghast.
I must be free. Now is the time to go. Find the master of the stables. Tell him to saddle the mare. He will know her, the grey mare with the white foot.
Lordship,
He will bring her to the Tower of Flints. I will be there shortly.
Sir.
Oh, Titus. My dear boy, you are in a deuce of a hurry.
I cannot stop.
My lord.
How are you, you young fellow?
Forgive me, Professor, Mrs. Belgrove, dear Dr. Prune, goodbye.
Mother, I am going.
Going where?
I am leaving Gormenghast. I cannot explain. I do not want to talk. I came to tell you, and that is all. Goodbye, Mother.
There is nowhere else! You will tread a circle, Titus Grove!
At your back, the castle climbs into the night.
Before me, a great terrain of moonlit wilderness.
Fixing your eyes on the blurred horizon,
I ride out of my world.
In Titus Departs, episode 4 of The History of Titus Grown by Mervyn Peake, Gertrude was played by Miranda Richardson, Fuchsia by Olivia Hallinan, and Cora and Clarice by Claudie Blakely and Fenella Woolgar. Steerpike was played by Carl Prekop, Dr. Prunesqualler by James Fleet, Irma Prunesqualler by Tamsin Gregg, Belgrove by William Gaunt, Flay by Adrian Scarborough, and The Thing by Alex Tregear. The young Titus was played by Hugo Docking, the older Titus by Luke Treadaway, and the artist by David Warner. Other parts were played by Jonathan Forbes, James Lely, Gerard McDermott, and Alan Raglan. The music is by Roger Goeller. The History of Titus Grown is dramatised by Brian Sibley, directed by Gemma Jenkins, and produced by Jeremy Mortimer. And next Sunday, Titus's flight from Gormenghast opens up a whole new world where he is vagrant, criminal, and lover. That's next Sunday at the same time.
A new series for BBC Radio 4 exploring the excitement and pleasure of writing and reading poetry.
I think that's fantastic, those last three lines. I am just a seam of something different.
Caught between its layers.
I think that's fabulous.
Poetry Workshop with Ruth Padell.
I really love your verbs, and I love this bodge
together, filling the back end of September.
I like the liveliness and the vernacular of that.
This afternoon at 4:30.